Back to throw. In trouble. He's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs. Gets away again. Goes to the 40. Gets away again. To the 35. Cuts back at the 30. To the 20. The 15. The 10. He dives. Touchdown, 49ers.
What's up, 49ers faithful? We are about 1 week away from the biggest draft in I don't know how many years now for the 49ers. It's been a long time since this much has been riding on one draft. So as always, Zane Ackley with you. Al couldn't be with us today, but man, have I got a great guest host for all of y'all. He is former NFL, AFL cornerback, Eric Crocker, Crocker Report. He is my go-to for DB analysis, man. Thank you so much for co-hosting with me today, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm honored, man. I'm honored to be on your guys' show, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we've been talking about getting you on for a little bit. Like, we've been talking literally for a couple of months because the Stafford thing happened. I messaged you like that day. I was like, yeah, we got to talk about this. And it never happened. And here we are a couple months later, and they did make a move for a quarterback. We just don't know which one it is.
Right.
So We want to get into that today. We got a mock for you today, the official No Huddle podcast mock that we do every year. We got it coming out. And, man, let's just get into these quarterbacks, dude. We're at number three now. It's been a lot of smoke. It's been the longest lead up to a draft ever, like since they made this trade, man. What's your gut feeling?
I mean, I was telling you, I wish that, you know, in a perfect world, they could make this trade the day of the draft so we didn't have this much time to talk about it. But I will say that it has definitely made for good content. So anybody that is a content creator, podcast, writer, or other, YouTube, whatever it is, I think this has been a great time for those guys because everybody's so interested on like who exactly this pick is going to be. And I think you can make a case for any of the three guys that it sounds like they're interested in, you know, whether it's Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields. I feel like there's a scenario where each one of them can thrive and do well with the 49ers. I think really what it's going to come down to is what flavor does Kyle Shanahan, you know, prefer at this moment? And that's the question that we're going to try to talk through a little bit today.
Yeah. And we've heard so much smoke around Mac Jones. He's been like, it's predominantly been Mac Jones, like 85% Mac Jones smoke, and then a little bit of field smoke after the pro day. And then like very little Lance smoke. I feel like Trey Lance didn't have a great pro day. I feel like he left a little bit on the field, and we talked about it afterwards, and you kind of felt the same way. But I think that like, when it comes down to it, The Niners don't leak. We know this, right? Like they do everything in silence, right? They move like G's and lasagna, right? Just completely silent, right? They didn't do any of that stuff. They didn't leak the John Lynch hire. They didn't leak the Jimmy trade. They didn't leak the Buckner trade. They didn't leak this trade moving up. They don't do that. They didn't leak the Trent Williams trade when they traded for him. And even Trent Williams was the only one that said anything about him re-signing, right? When he said you're barking up the right tree. So this team, they do not put stuff out there. So this is mostly media manufactured speculation that you're hearing about Mac Jones. I'm not saying Mac Jones is a bad quarterback, but I think that for what you want to do now, and you tweeted this out like months ago, like during the season, when we're talking about potentially moving on from Jimmy G, you said they got to make a home run move. And when you make a home run move, you got to go all or nothing. You're all in. And you don't make that move for Mac Jones. Like he's a fine quarterback, and I would have been maybe okay with him at 12. But when you're sitting in three and Justin Fields is there, premier athlete, Trey Lance is their premier potential. Like it has to be one of those guys, doesn't it?
You know, that's the way that, you know, I would think about it, right? You know, now, obviously since then, there have been a lot of guys that have come out to Mac Jones' defense. And I think, you know, like you, I think Mac Jones is a really fine and solid quarterback. You know, I remember tweeting out in October, like, man, if there's a guy that's a Kyle Shanahan style quarterback, which what we have known to be a Kyle Shanahan quarterback, you know, up to this date, or up until that time, it was a Kirk Cousins style quarterback, right? Like this guy that's just really good and efficient in the pocket, maybe doesn't have the biggest of arms, right? And I'm looking at Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm looking at Mullins, right? I'm looking at those type of guys where I'm like, man, you know, they aren't these elite athletes or anything like that. They can't really make plays off script, but they deliver, they are efficient, you know, for the most part, like that, ideally they are efficient. And I thought Mac Jones did a lot of those things and even a little bit better, because I thought like, just him throwing the ball downfield, it looked like he was just a little bit more comfortable doing it. And at least Alabama was comfortable with him doing it in their offense, so they threw the ball downfield a ton. But I was just looking at him, I'm like, man, I could see Kyle Shanahan liking him. Now, when I said that, that was with the thought process of Mac Jones not being the third overall pick. So I do like him. I do like a lot of things that he brings to the table. And I could see a scenario where Kyle Shanahan really likes him. But even then, I would have a hard time taking him over a guy that has a higher ceiling, because what do we do all year, right? We're looking at these other quarterbacks that can do more, that are more athletic, that can, you know, make plays, that can make the play. And when you watch and watching that, the thoughts that are always going through our head is, man, just imagine if Kyle Shanahan had that style of quarterback. And you just always think like, nah, the 49ers won't be in a position to be able to grab a quarterback like that. And then now all of a sudden they're in the position to be able to grab one or two guys that have that type of ability. And everybody's like, well, you know, you start nitpicking at guys. And, well, he's not good at this, he's not good at that. And what people don't understand is the guys that we drool over during the year, they weren't that when they first came into the league. There is a bit of a process, but you play it out and eventually, hopefully, you bet on their talent and you end up with one, you know, a top 5 or 10 quarterback in the league. You know, if you ask yourself, hey, in 3 years, can I see, you know, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields being a top 7 quarterback in the league? If the answer is no, that you can't see it with one of those guys, then why would you pick that person at 3? And right. I think that's the question that really needs to be asked to Kyle. You know?
Yeah, and I'm totally with you there. And the thing about Mac Jones is, look, he's not terribly athletic. Like, and when I say not athletic, I'm not talking about like compared to the average person. I'm talking about like all of y'all, like football players, right? Compared to them, in that pool, he's not terribly athletic, right? He's athletic enough to get stuff done at the college level, but the NFL game, and you can attest to this, the NFL game is so much faster. And everything happens faster. The reads are faster. The players are faster. Everything happens at a different level speed. The processing has to be faster. And I think that's why people like Mac Jones, is because he processes stuff really fast. And that's why people see him as a fit in Kyle's offense, because that's what Kyle really wants. He wants somebody that's really quick at processing, because like passing lanes open and close, passing windows open and close so quickly. But the athleticism thing bothers me, because like you said, you're looking at a league that's evolving at the quarterback position, and you don't have necessarily guys that are just running around scrambling like Mike Vick and RG3 and Kaepernick were, but you have guys that can do both, like Josh Allen, right? Or, you know, when Carson Wentz was playing well with Philly, like guys that are mobile enough to beat you with their legs occasionally. And that statue prototypical pocket quarterback that they used to have in the league, that every team used to want, that's kind of a thing in the past now. It's kind of a thing of the past. So I'm not sure if Mac Jones is athletic as they want him to be to be able to get the things done that they need to do. And somebody posed a question to me on Twitter. Like, they're like, well, you know, he is athletic enough. I'm like, well, I mean, the issue is this. So I'll use myself as an example. Like, you know, when I was in college and I was playing on my team, I was not the most athletic guy on the team, right? But if you take me off of that team and put that into like a pool of my friends and like my associates out of the team, I was the most athletic guy, right? So we're looking at like, you know, it's all relative, right? So we have to look at how athletic Mac Jones is compared to his peers. And he's not very athletic compared to his peers. So when you need a guy that when your scheme is shut down, like in a Super Bowl, for example, right? When they shut down the scheme, Chris Jones has blown everything up because he's got pressure up the middle. They can't run play action because he's on them right away by the time the fake is made. Jimmy had to get the ball out of his hand or make a read, and they just couldn't do that. You need a guy that can take over the game for that drive or those few plays or that play that's a tipping point, an inflection point in the game, and go off script. You're not talking about a guy that's just like freelancing all the time and freewheeling all the time. You want a guy that can occasionally make a play off script. And to me, Justin Fields and Trey Lance are of that mold. And remember, right, Trey Lance is only 20 years old, man. That's people don't realize.
Play his that year at 19. And I think that's the part people are missing too, where it's like, look, this was beginner stage Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And yes, you have to gamble on will he get better, but that's when you have to find out what type of kid this is. And from everything I hear, you know, I've been listening to the last couple of Matt Maiocco podcasts, and they were really good, the last two. One was with Greg Cosell. The next one was with Quincy Avery. So you kind of got to find out a lot about just kind of like the process of, you know, what are the coaches going through? I know when I was listening to Cosell on there, the one thing he said was, well, do you draft a guy that can make a few plays off script per game? And my echo's pushing the hard line of, no, you don't. Like, you don't solely draft a guy for that. But my thing is, these guys aren't just that. They're not just off-script players. You just want a guy that has the ability to do that. But these guys, they do a lot of things very well. And I think one thing that Greg Cosell said that people maybe skipped over a little bit was every player that you draft right now, either these quarterbacks or other, they are not their finished product. Mm-hmm. I think that's the part that people have to understand. Like, when these guys get to the league, they will continue to get better, hopefully, right, with good coaching and if they have that work ethic. Now, when you question the work ethic and things like that, or, you know, you have that question like, well, is this a good kid? Is he going to work hard? When I was listening to Quincy Avery, and I don't know if you've heard it, but Quincy Avery talking on Mayoko's podcast, and he was saying, Trey Lance, what he was doing to stay in that mode of, you know, well, I didn't have a season, but I need to stay sharp. He was getting a playbook from an NFL player, right? So a quarterback gave him his playbook. He went over, it was like Monday, he went over a certain thing. Tuesday, he went over a certain thing. And it was like, it would be like first downs, second downs, all third downs. He would look at the defense. He knew what their game plan was. He would take all his notes as if he's a quarterback in that meeting room. And then they would work on some of those things. And then at the end of the week, go over his notes with the actual quarterback that's in the NFL, that it was their game plan. And he would compare and contrast their notes. So, like, he was staying involved in it mentally, you know, from that standpoint. Again, nothing is better than, like, live reps. But it just shows to, like, what type of work ethic this guy has. He could have just been sitting around and, well, okay, every couple of days I'll go throw and that'll be good enough. Like, no, like, he stayed working to keep his mind sharp. And I think that just says a lot about the type of preparer he is. So whatever, and I feel strongly about this, and this is why, you know, my gut feeling says it's Trey Lance. Whatever Trey Lance is right now, he's not even close to what he's going to be in a couple of years. And I don't think, I know there's a lot of people like, well, we don't have a couple of years to wait. We're in the win now mode. No, you can still play with him and win and do things with him right now. But that still doesn't mean that he's what he's going to be in 3 years, which I think with his mentality, and his ability and upside, he's going to be a terrific guy. Yes, there are some concerns. Yes, he hasn't played a whole lot of football. Yes, he hasn't played at the Division I level. He hasn't played at the FBS level. Yes, he's been out for a year. Yes, he has some accuracy concerns. But I think when you find out those type of things about a player and you understand what type of work he's willing to put in to be great, you can't help but think that, you know what? This is the guy that if I'm going to take a big swing, this is a big swing. And regardless of if I miss, no matter who, if I miss on Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, I'm out of here anyways. So let me take a big swing on somebody who I really feel like, all right, he's going to work his tail off to become what I think he can be. And I'm betting on that.
That's actually a really good point. And about Trey Lance, so his comp is actually Josh Allen. And that's his closest comp, right? Justin Fields' comp was kind of Russell Wilson, like a larger Russell Wilson. But I mean, like, either way here, if you go with either of those guys, you really can't go wrong, in my opinion, right? Like, we heard about the epilepsy thing that Justin Fields is dealing with that it came out actually as of the recording of the show today, and how he manages it with medications and things like that. But I think that when it comes down to it, if you got a guy that you feel can run your offense for the next 10 years and run it effectively, and that defenses won't catch up to because he has enough physical tools to make up for scheme changes or defenses catching up. Because look, we have to realize that the defenders are paid too. Like, you guys are paid too to stop the offense, right? Like, it's not just going to be one of those things where you plug and play like a Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Justin Fields in, and they're just going to automatically grow every year. Like, you're going to have setbacks. And I think that when you have a guy like Trey Lance, and since we're on him right now, you have somebody that you're more patient with when it comes to those setbacks because of his youth. Like, dude, do you remember when you were 20 years old? Like, I still remember when I was 20 years old, I wasn't done developing, dude. Mentally or physically. Like,
I don't even want to talk about what I was doing at 20 years old.
that's what I mean, right? Like, when we were 20 years old, dude, like, we were in college, we were on our teams, but, like, you know, you're learning how to eat right. You're learning the nutritional aspect of it. You're trying to learn how to work out properly. You're learning all of these things, and you're trying to mold your body into adulthood. And now you're talking about Trey Lance, who's in that same stage of his life where his body isn't really even finished developing yet. And now you're going to put him in, you know, the NFL with fully grown ass men, right? So I think that a lot of patience is going to be needed with his development. And I think that Kyle, I see why Kyle would like him, because he feels like he's very moldable at this point. Like, he doesn't have bad habits to get out of. Like, you know, the thing with Jimmy is that he has a lot of bad habits now, and it's harder to get out of those than it is to mold a fresh quarterback. And I think that
especially when you don't have like any change up to get off of that, right? Like with Jimmy G, everything has to be timing based. Like, everything has to be precision passing. He has to be pinpoint accurate with everything. He has to make sure that he's seeing everything exactly right, because if he doesn't get the ball out of his hands right now, the play, for the most part, is pretty much dead. And when you have a guy like Trey Lance, even as he goes through different transitions of teams adjusting to him and stuff, his ability to get out on the edge, you know, make plays on the move, that gives him a little changeup. Now, there are things that people will point to where, well, he rolled out this time. Look at him miss this throw. Okay. Like, that's fixable. That's correctable, right? Like, with work and you know, continuously working on throwing on the move and doing those things, we've seen him do it well. Why does he miss, right? Does he miss just because he's just so inaccurate? Or does he miss because, well, look at his feet and the shoulders here. They're not right, and he needs to get better at doing something like that. Like, that's why when I look at him and I'm watching the film, and I was watching the film the other day, I'm just like, man, he's not perfect. But the things that he needs to improve on, you can see why he misses. It's not random. It's just, oh man, look at his feet. Like, oh, he doesn't have, you know, all his cleats in the ground. Like, oh, look at his shoulders. Like, look how he's going up and down. Like, you look at these things and it's like, well, all these things are fixable with reps. And those are things he hasn't had, right? He hasn't had a ton of reps, but now he has the time to get right. You get plug him into an NFL team. Say he goes to the 49ers and they keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he's in the position to where, hey, I can work on these things. Hopefully, eventually they can kind of phase him in here, because I don't want him to sit out a whole year. We're talking about this guy needing, oh, he hasn't played enough, right? He needs more. Well, we're just going to have to get him these reps, you know, and we're going to live with what kind of comes from that, the ups and downs of that. But eventually, like Buffalo Bills, they rolled it out. The thing that people miss with Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen is, although he was having his ups and downs and he had his struggles and stuff, by year two, they were in the playoffs. Yeah. And he still wasn't what he was last year going to the AFC Championship game. But in year two, they were a playoff team. In year two, they were up 16-0 on Deshaun Watson and Houston Texans. You know, so I think sometimes people just got to understand, like, hey, we're doing a really good job putting a great team around this young guy. He has all the ability. He has intangibles. He has things that we can win with right now. We're going to have some ups and some downs. Let him learn from that. And don't focus so much on winning the Super Bowl right now. Obviously, that's the goal, right? You want to win the Super Bowl. But what about next year? What about the year after that? What about the year after that? Right? Like, let's have a dynasty. Let's not just have what we've been having so far, which was we had three good years with Harbaugh, and then we were trash the next few years. We had, you know, trash year with two trash years with Shanahan, a Super Bowl, and then trash again. Like, no, like let's have continuous, like, really good seasons so that we can have something to be happy about, man. Like, I feel like everybody's on pins and needles right now, just so nervous about this whole thing, but something in my gut, and we'll get to the quarterbacks, but something in my gut for the last few weeks has told me that it was Trey Lance. And I actually reached out to Quincy Avery, and I was like, and this was like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, I just, something in my gut tells me the 49ers are picking Trey Lance. I was like, I don't know what it is. I haven't had this feeling before. I just didn't know. I'm like, I have no idea. And I was like, just something telling me it's him. And he was like, well, you, he was like, I think it might be too, because they reached out to him and he was like, they wanted him to go work with Beck. And he was like, and he said, that's Kyle's boy. That's what Kyle wanted. This was before anybody else heard about it. So I'm like, wait, like, this is kind of breaking news. Now, I didn't say anything. I actually sent it to a couple people, like Chris Biederman. I'm like, hey man, look at this. Like, you know, but it was kind of like, you know, and then like 2 days later, that was when it kind of got out that Trey Lance was working. But there were people like, did like Kyle ask, like Kyle 100% said, this is what I want. So I'm curious to see how that whole thing kind of plays out.
Yeah. And like you, the John Beck thing is really interesting because Justin Fields also worked with John Beck too. Right. Mm-hmm. And the only quarterback, the only top three guy not to work with John Beck is Mac Jones.
Right.
So really we have to look at, and we're literally just following breadcrumbs here. We don't know. We don't know what the Niners are thinking. We don't know what they're intending on doing, but if we look at the way that Kyle structured this out, all the quarterbacks, that all the pro days that he went to, they're all doing little snippets from Kyle's playbook and things that he wants, specifically like a rollout left. Justin Fields, I think, executed that the best. He threw it about 64 yards downfield, 65 yards downfield, falling away from the line of scrimmage. Lance looked good doing that too. Mac Jones, not so much, but I don't think that's his thing. But it's interesting to see his fingerprints on all of this whole quarterback search, because I feel like the last time, taking a step back from this and going to 2017, the last time that they were in this position, they didn't do their due diligence, and they're paying for it now. Because if they had drafted Deshaun Watson, I mean, all the allegations and stuff aside, he's a good quarterback, or drafted Patrick Mahomes, you're not drafting a quarterback this year, right? You've got your quarterback. But then you can say,
how would Trubisky have been with him if that was the guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What would Trubisky have looked like? Because he has all the ability. Now, I don't know why he didn't succeed in Chicago, but, you know, you can kind of throw him in the mix to where, you know, hey, maybe we would have seen a better version of Trubisky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, we don't know what would have happened. So I think this time, like, it's kind of like that PTSD from last time that they had. They're like, all right, like, you know, we messed up last time. We didn't do our due diligence. And maybe even if they're not intending on picking one of these guys, they're like, all right, let me just see. Because anything can happen between now and the draft, right? Like, you know, Laremy Tunsil, right? Like that whole situation. If one of these dudes puts out a gas mask bong or something like that, right? Like, then it's like, okay, we got to go with plan B or something like that, right? So they got to do their due diligence. And I understand that, like, it's frustrating for people that are on the outside, because it looks like, you know, they're doing a certain thing, and to the media, it looks like they're doing a certain thing. They push that narrative, but we have to remember that there's a reason why they made this trade. And I think that they know who they want, like, with this trade, when they traded up, they have a plan A and plan B. They're like, plan A is like, if this guy's available, we're going to get him. Plan B is like, if our number one gets hurt during workouts or something like that, we go with the plan B then, right? Brad, like, you know, tears an ACL or something like that during workouts. It happens all the time, right? And then they go with their plan B based off that. But the notion that, like, they made this trade several weeks ago, not knowing who they were going to pick, to me is totally BS. Like, they know who they want. And there's a reason why they jumped up in front of Atlanta. Like, we had this discussion as well. I feel like Atlanta wants one of Fields or Lance, and they jumped up in front of Atlanta to get the guy that they want, because they know what the Jets are doing now, right? They know what Saleh's doing. Trevor Lawrence is going number one. At this point, to me, it's between those three quarterbacks that we mentioned. And drilling down even more, it's probably between, honestly, Lance or Fields for me.
Right.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but I just feel like that's just my gut feeling. Like, it's a two quarterback race. They know one of those two guys, they know which one they want. And the other one is plan B in case of gas mask bong.
Now, just playing devil's advocate, right? And kind of, you know, with Mac Jones, he's the only guy that did not work with Beck, but maybe they felt like they were comfortable with him and everything they needed to know, they knew from film or whatever. Now I wouldn't go about it that way. Right. But, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. What if they've liked him the whole time and didn't need to do a whole lot of digging. And maybe it was just like, you know what, we need to know more about Trey Lance and Justin Fields. So let's go ahead, make sure that they work with our guy. We can learn more about them, you know, more that, you know, kind of shows on the outside. If we get a good report from our guy Beck, then all right, maybe we should have that conversation about maybe taking one of these other guys. Now that's a devil's advocate way of kind of, you know, thinking about it. Maybe they do like Mac Jones a lot, you know, because I know most people don't want to hear that, but you know, I've watched a lot of Mac Jones, obviously, for various reasons, whether it's watching his receivers or just, you know, the 49ers kind of going through this whole thing. So I'm watching him. And he does a lot of things very well. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of things very well. I do think, you know, everybody kind of throws out the whole processing thing. And I think like all these guys, and people don't paint this picture of him, but like all these guys, he has boneheaded decisions. He's had weird throws. You know, he's been inaccurate on throws. You can see a lot of times where his receivers save him. Like, he has these issues too that people don't talk about as much. But even with all that, there are a lot of good that he does. I think his playing the pocket is like next level. He's always moving. He's always getting his feet under himself and setting up. I mean, his timing is really good with everything. I think his anticipation throws really good. You know, you talked about him not being a great athlete in comparison to his peers, but I do think like he has done a good job of if he needs to kind of take off, he can if there's that window of opportunity.
Right.
Is he going to be a guy that just makes people miss and be able to make a throw? Like, no, that's never going to be him. Right. Like, I'm going to make you miss and I'm going to go here and I'm going to throw. Like, no, you're not going to get that. But I think for the most part, like, really just being able to execute an offense, and I think really being able to visualize him in your offense, I think Kyle Shanahan would get that like day one. Now, again, you know, with all these guys, there could be a learning curve with Mac Jones. Like, what's it going to look like when he doesn't have the best talent? And I know people are like, well, he's in college, he's in the SEC. And it's like, no, like, yeah, he's in college, he's in the SEC, but his talent on Alabama, like, they have the number one and number two recruiting class every year. They have the best talent, you know? Like, we're talking about four receivers in the last 2 years that he's thrown to that are going to be going in the top 15. Like, that's insane. That's insane. Yeah. And I know he didn't have all of them for the whole entire time, but for the most part, he always had Devontae. He always had Devontae Smith, who people don't really realize this, but he led Alabama in receiving last year, yards and touchdowns. Like, he was their leading receiver. This year, obviously, he was a Heisman Trophy Award winner, but he's always been good. He's always been reliable. These dudes make it easier to be a quarterback. Now, again, that's not taking anything away from Mac Jones, who I think does a really good job of playing in rhythm and delivering the throws, but his guys are winning. He's typically has a comfortable pocket. Like, he's not someone that has to continuously be sped up mentally, right? When he drops back to throw the ball, he's not worried about getting hit. Right. So he knows, man, I'm dropping back. I can comfortably go through my reads. If I have to like speed it up for on this play or whatever, like, cool, I'll speed up on this rep and get this throw out. But like, I'm watching, I was watching Georgia against Arkansas State, and Arkansas State's quarterback was getting killed by Georgia's line. Like, and when you have to play quarterback like that, where it's like, gosh, my line cannot block these guys. Like, I'm under constant duress, or even like Justin Fields in the national championship playing against Alabama's defense, where every single pass was contested. He had to be on point with everything that he did. He tried to, you know, he made some great throws. He made some plays with his legs, but it was not going to be enough because there wasn't that separation. The offensive line wasn't holding up. He had to really be on point with his timing. Like, he was challenged as far as like what it's going to look like at the NFL. And yeah, he can improve on those things, but I don't think Mac Jones has faced that type of adversity at this level and still been challenged to make the big time throws. He's made the big time throws, but typically it's on his terms of being comfortable with what he's throwing into and not being rushed consistently mentally, because, you know, my offensive line cannot block this defensive line across from me. When we did see that against him against Georgia, first play of the game, he threw an interception. And when you look at the all 22, it's like, bro, where were you throwing it? Even if you didn't get hit while throwing it in the ball and it get picked off, you were throwing it into double coverage with two guys running vertically with your safety. Like, that was a bad decision, but you were rushed and you made that decision. You know, so, you know, there's a lot to like about him. And I think I'm higher on him than a lot of 49ers Twitter, but I see no way you can take him over the other two guys.
I mean, there's no way. Like, there's no way that, because the thing is that you've now given up the next two years worth of first round picks for this quarterback. So it's like, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that's what one of the problems was with Jimmy Garoppolo, was the amount that they gave up to keep him and secure him. I think that we're kind of seeing that same thing with Mac Jones. Like, all right, like I said at the outset of the show, like, I would have been cool with him at 12. Like, I would have been fine with that. But like, you gave up two picks, two first rounders the next 2 years, you got to hit a home run. So we haven't really even touched on Justin Fields yet. But I mean, like, when it comes to Justin Fields, like, the only thing that really, like, kind of, it's like a small thing, is that just that long throwing motion. That's the only thing. It's not terribly long either. It's not like Tebow-esque where it's like, you know, like a full pitcher windup. But like, he's got a little bit of a loopy throwing motion. So I mean, it's not terrible, but I think that he would have to tighten that up a little bit. Trey Lance, I mean, same thing. Trey Lance is a quicker release, but his throwing motion is a little bit longer. But these are things that you can coach, right? There are things that you can help them get better at. So it's not like a deal breaker. It's just one of those things where I remember talking to Javi about this, like, during the season as well, shortly after the season concluded. And he said, look, man, all these guys have warts. All of them do. Like, none of them are perfect. You're not getting an Andrew Luck this year out of any of these quarterbacks, like even Trevor Lawrence. So I think that, like, they're all going to require very varying amounts of coaching. And you really have to go with the guys that have the highest ceiling. And Mac Jones is the safest pick here, right? you equated it to bunting with runners on base and moving the runner over, right? When you're down a couple of runs, when you needed a home run. And I think that that's not what they need right now. If they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo, and if they were just kind of picking from scratch, I'd say Mac Jones is, all right, cool, make the, you know, make him pick. But I feel like he does a lot of the same things that we wanted and kind of some of the things that we saw out of Jimmy. And you just have to move off of that because it limits your playbook. And it doesn't allow you to call certain things and fit and run certain fakes and certain actions off of your plays that will get the defense thinking, because that's what really what wins, right? So, you know, like, I don't know. Like, we've heard a lot of smoke around Mac Jones. I don't believe it. I don't believe that hype. Like, I think that, you know, to me, I think Justin Fields would be the pick. I'd be equally as happy to Trey Lance. No matter what, dude, remember, we're getting a jersey this time, right? Whoever the quarterback is, we made this deal, right? I know you don't buy jerseys, dude. But we made this deal, right?
I don't buy jerseys either. I'm going to get this one.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever it is, right? With that being said, man, let's get into this mock draft. So we got a little mock draft for you guys that we planned here. And it's the full 7 rounds. Like, we're going to go without trades because, like, I don't have the draft chart in front of me that gives you the point value for each pick. And we're not going to make it complicated like that. But let's start right at quarterback, right? So I think it's going to be Fields. I think it's going to be Justin Fields. I think that's the right pick to make. He's the guy that has that wow factor. Everybody saw, you know, the picture of him smiling with Kyle Shanahan after the pro day and all that stuff, right? So I think that that's the pick that you have to make, right? Because right now, Kyle needs a guy that's not going to limit him. And Kyle needs a guy who can do basically anything that you want him to do. He talked about the Patrick Mahomes, right? In the lead up to the draft, a guy that lets you do everything. And to me, that guy is Justin Fields. He has the experience. Trey Lance has only played 17 games, as has Mac Jones at the college level. Trey Lance is super young. He's a little bit more polished than Lance, a little bit more accurate. And I would think that, like, in 2 years, this is like what you would see out of Trey Lance, maybe at a higher level. But if Trey Lance was the same age, you would probably see the same thing out of him. Right. But just because Fields is further along, I think that the pick would be Fields.
Yeah, and I'm completely fine with that. I mean, that's my favorite quarterback in this class, and that's including Trevor Lawrence.
I just think that, really?
I mean, obviously, like, there's a debate. I would say 1A, 1B. I think the thing that is crazy to me is that there is no conversation about, like, the comparing the two. Which, to me, if you were just to say from an accuracy standpoint, who's more accurate, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? I think Justin Fields is. Who has the bigger arm? I think Justin Fields does. Who's more athletic? I think Justin Fields is. So, like, to my, like, when I look at it, like, who's played bigger in big moments. Obviously, we saw the one game in the national championship with Trevor Lawrence, and that was great. And then we've seen the last 2 years where, you know, it's been a battle between him and Justin Fields. And we've seen one where Trevor Lawrence ended up coming out on top, making more plays really with his legs. Then we saw the other time where Justin Fields dominated with his arm. So I just kind of look at them both like, to me, they're 1A, 1B. And I think it's crazy that there is no conversation. But in my opinion, just because I think that Justin Fields is just more talented, you know, nobody else says it for whatever reason. I like Justin Fields more. Now, what I like about him is just the intangibles, right? Like, we see the big plays, and I hate that people don't talk about him like this, but he is a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. Yes, he can make plays on the move. Yes, he is athletic. Yes, we know all those things, but he's a pocket passer. He plays from the pocket. I actually wish he would run more. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually wish he would make more plays with his legs, you know, because he's good at doing that, but he wants to play from the pocket. I compare him to, like, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is a guy that plays from the pocket. Yes, he has the ability to move. And even then, he doesn't have a bigger arm as Justin Fields. He's not as athletic as Justin Fields, but they both play similar in the sense of play from the pocket. Maybe they aren't as quick with their processing or whatever, but they do what's asked of them. They make plays. They're able to win a lot of games. I think Dak Prescott does a lot of the same. You know, I just envision him with the 49ers and all the things that Kyle Shanahan would do and the full playbook being open. Can he get him better at hitting that open guy, like, right away? I'm sure he can, but this is what one thing I'll say about him, and then we can get on with the rest of the mock. Jimmy Garoppolo threw to his first read 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Shanahan does a really good job of defining his first read and getting that there. If you go over and practice, hey, this is your first read, and 80% of the time you're going to throw it to it, I think Justin Fields could be very successful with that because he is extremely accurate. You know,
yeah.
Now, maybe his offense, and this is one thing I was talking to my QB buddy, maybe they didn't ask him to play quick game. So, you know, maybe they asked him to, hey, we got plays downfield. You know, or did he miss a play here and there or a throw here and there? They all did. I can show you times what Mac Jones did. I can show you times what Trevor Lawrence did. They all have. But I think overall, I'm betting on that tremendous upside and what we've already seen from him. And I think that has been tremendous. So I'm all in on Justin Fields. I would love to have him. I think he'd be great with the 49ers. So if that's the pick, I like the first pick.
Absolutely. I hope it is. I hope it is Justin Fields. And one of the other things that we kind of
miss about. Real quick. I forgot to say this. On a Mayoko podcast, listening to Quincy Avery. Quincy Avery said that this guy has like this photogenic memory. Mm-hmm. So he was saying Fields has like this photogenic memory and that he sees things and only has to see it like once. And then he's able to like retain all that information. And I guess like he's able to like memorize a playbook, like the back of his hand extremely quick. Yeah. And it helps like with all facets of his game. So he was saying like some people would kind of question his work ethic or how long it takes him to do stuff. But because he processes or like he's able to pick up things so quickly, he doesn't have to spend as much time studying, I guess. And even though studying there, I guess when you ask Coach Day, those things have never been an issue with him. He studies hard and he does everything. But I think maybe if he's a guy that doesn't do it as much as long as other people, it's because he just remembers things. He has this photogenic memory. But he had a player on NFL Network yesterday vouching for him and was just like, dude, I laugh at what they're saying about Justin Fields. Like, that stuff is ridiculous. It's hardest working dude that we know. Like, first person in, last person out. Like, everybody loves him. Like, whatever they're talking about, like, that's ridiculous. But yeah, I just have to throw that in there about what Quincy Avery said about that photogenic memory thing and how when he was at Elite 11, when everybody was like, Trevor Lawrence is the guy, he won Elite 11 because he was able to process that playbook faster than anybody else and pick it up extremely quick. And that was when he was a junior in high school.
Damn, that's processing, baby. That's processing right there. We're talking about Mac Jones and the processing. I had no idea. That is a really cool nugget of information. I had no idea about that. That's crazy. So, I mean, I can get why people don't think he's dedicated. It's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, he's not spending time in the playbook, but like, you only have to look at it once to memorize it, right? So, yeah he's not going to spend
time. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's not spending time with it. I'm just saying like that was one thing. If he's not, that could be the context behind it because he has this photogenic memory.
That's super cool. That's really cool. I actually think that's really fantastic. I think, you know, when you look at before we move on to the next one, when you look at Justin Fields, like we don't really know like what these guys are going to look like when they actually get into an NFL, you know, stadium when the crowd is we will have crowds this fall, but like, you know, crowds at full throat when you're playing up in Seattle and Pete Carroll's throwing all this stuff at you defensively and you're having to like process things. But I think that like, you know, when it comes down to those sorts of things, like you want a guy that can actually create on his own and be able to do some things that, you know, if you need to get a big play here and there just to get your team going, to flip the field, flip momentum, whatever it is, he has that ability to do it. So, yeah, I'm all on Justin Fields too. Like, I think that, you know, he's a fantastic quarterback. It's funny because Justin Fields was QB, like, I guess 1B for me up until the Zach Wilson hype started taking over. So when all that stuff started happening, like that's when Justin Fields got dropped down and I was like inexplicably, I think Zach Wilson's a fantastic quarterback too, right? But you know, Justin Fields is number two for me up until then. I think he still is behind Lawrence. So hopefully that happens. All right, pick 43, second round. You're gonna like this one. They need a corner. So Asante Samuel's kid, Asante Samuel Jr. I think he'll be there at 43. The depth behind Verrett and Mosley and Kamron Williams, although I think that Samuel's not going to be good in the slot. He doesn't have a good enough change of direction. And he's really good with his ball skills. So you got to keep him on the outside. Right now with those two guys, I mean, Mosley's on a 2-year deal. Verrett's on a 1-year deal. Like you need depth there. And I think that Asante Samuel's kid, like Asante Samuel Jr. is a fantastic value there.
Yeah, I think even more so than just looking for depth at that position, you're looking for somebody that can potentially be a long-term starter. And him just having that, like, you know, that NFL bloodline and pedigree, you know, you could see it on the film at Florida State. I think what he does really good job of, and really maybe more so better than maybe anybody else in this class, I thought he was like the best tackling corner, right? And like, that doesn't mean like a whole lot, but I just thought like, as far as understanding like his mentality and mental makeup, I thought that was really good to see. As I continue to watch, I noticed that he does some really good things. I thought his anticipation was great. from off coverage, being able to kind of sit on routes, drive back down and break up passes. I thought he was scrappy. I really liked that about him. I thought he ran vertically with guys very well. You know, I thought he was versatile. At first, I was just like, man, they're playing him only to the field. They're taking him out in the red zone. But then the more I watch him, I was like, oh, man, like, you know, he's pressed up here. He's playing off. He has a bell here. I thought he challenged himself very well in space. So he's going to be a really good scheme, versatile cornerback. And if the 49ers aren't all in on that 6'2", 200-pound cornerback, which if you look at the corners now, it looks like they're just looking more for guys that can just cover. Yeah. I think that he'd be a terrific pick at 43.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying all along, I'm like, give me Fields at number 3, Asante Samuel Jr. at number 43, and I'm happy. Another guy, like, so I think that, like, you know, you could possibly flip-flop these guys too. Depends on, you know, enough teams believe in Asante Samuel or enough teams believe in the guy that I'm about to suggest for the next pick. Round 3, 102. I don't know if he's going to fall this far. I would love to get him. They may have, I mean, if they wanted to trade up to get him, that's fine. Use one of the later picks. But Azeez Ojulari, the linebacker from Georgia, I mean, he's undersized. And I think that, like, because of that, like, he would have fit better in the 3-4. But since there are so few teams running that, maybe he'll slide. And he's super raw as a pass rusher. But again, like, this is one of those guys that, like, you put in the rotation behind Bosa and Blair and maybe D Ford, and he gets to learn from these guys. And Chris Kocurek, like, one of the best defensive line coaches in the game. Like, when you put guys in that position, like, look what they got out of Kerry Hyder, right? So you never know when guys have talent. I feel like, you know, this is one of those guys that, you know, because of his size, if he was a little bit bigger, he probably would have gone earlier. But, like, you know, I think this is the max that he'll slide. I don't think he'll slide round 3. I think he'll be picked in round 2. But yeah, Ojulari at 103.
You know, I like that. That's a position that, you know, the 49ers with the defensive line that definitely has to, like, get some youth in there, some more youth in there, right? They did sign Arden Key earlier today. Yeah. So, you know, but Key was somebody who didn't have, like, you know, the workout issues or whatever. He ballooned up and got, like, super heavy heading into the combine. Ended up running in, like, the high 4.8s, which was, like, crazy because everybody thought he was going to be, like, this, you know, super athletic guy. And I think he, like, gained a bunch of weight. It was all kind of weird stuff around his pro day. Well, heading to the NFL, you know, got drafted, hasn't been great. And now the 49ers signed him, so he has a second opportunity. So we'll see. I just look at it as more of just an opportunity. I think a guy like, you know, the Georgia linebacker kind of coming in and maybe being like a hybrid or someone who can maybe do some pass rushing, maybe play just some, you know, Sam, you know, backer like we saw from, you know, Dre Greenlaw coming in. I think that would be something that's, like, you know, a good role and needed with the 49ers.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, like, you can never have enough pass rushers, right? That's the biggest thing in the NFL. Like, if these guys go down, keep guys fresh. I think that what made Bosa so effective in his rookie year was that they had a good rotation going, and they weren't on the field the entire time, right? Like, he was playing a lot of snaps, but the defense as a unit wasn't on the field. And I think that they'll probably take a step back this year with Robert Saleh being gone. Maybe not a giant step back, but, like, a slight step back. They were top 5 last year. They may be, like, you know, top 10 this year. So. Right. With that happening, like, they'll probably be on the field more. You need more players in depth in that. So, round 4, 117. Quinn Miners, the center slash guard from Wisconsin Whitewater. He didn't have any 2020 tape, but he had a really, really, really good Senior Bowl, and he's big for a center. So I'm thinking that they could probably envision him as a guard as well, just because of the size and that interior O line. Man, they need so much help there. That's probably the biggest weakness on this team. You could argue that. That's one of the reasons why they didn't get that Super Bowl win against Kansas City, because they kept blowing up the interior of the O-line. So, yeah, Quinn Miners is the pick at 117.
Nice. You know, obviously, like, 49ers can definitely use depth in the interior. I think there are a lot of people that want to draft, like, offensive line really early. I don't know if I see them just doing quite that just because of, you know, when you look at the offensive line, I feel like, for the most part, the starting lineup is pretty much set.
Yeah.
You know, even with I'm blanking on his name. Brunskill at guard. You know, I think he's going to be fine there. You know, I think everybody looks at it as if, like, every offensive line is the 2017 Dallas Cowboys. And it's like, dude, no. Like, typically, there's one guy that's not great. And I think when you look at the other four guys, I think they're definitely solid starters. I think Brunskill's a solid starter. And then you look at even behind him, there's some depth. Got some guys like Sean Coleman coming back. some other guys that you want to see how they develop, right? McKivitz, who's the other guy? School. You know, these are guys who are drafted. Let's see how they develop. You know, and I asked a question on Twitter. I'm like, if you believe in development, you can't give up on a guy like McKivitz just after 1 year, not even being like a full-time starter or anything like that. You gotta sometimes give these guys like a year or two to kind of see what they can become. So, you know, I look at it like, hey, you bring in this guy that's versatile from, you know, Wisconsin Whitewater, where he could play, you know, be a backup center to Alex Mack, or a guard, you know, but just somebody that is in the mix and developing and eventually could take over for somebody like Alex Mack. I think that would be a really good pick.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, and the versatility too, right? Like Sean Coleman, right. Like you said, he's like a swing everything. He can play guard or both tackle positions. And when he went down, I think that was a big loss for them, because you miss a guy that can literally play like, you know, 4 out of 5 offensive line positions. So that's big. Round 5, 155. So this is when you're kind of getting into the middle to late rounds of the draft, and like you don't know as much about guys and how they'll succeed. So you're looking for specific traits or specific holes that they can fill. And, you know, I think, you know, with Trent Taylor basically being done and not being able to get over injuries and not being that productive when he was healthy, you need somebody that can operate out of the slot. You need a guy that can also return punts and kicks and a special teams ace. Richie James is kind of a question mark, whether they want to bring him back or not. So you can see a guy right here. Chief Smith from South Carolina, Debo's teammate, remember? So Debo is kind of advocating for him, and you know, he's undersized. He's like 5'9", but like he can play multiple roles in Kyle's offense. Like, we know that Kyle loves to put Debo everywhere, right? He loves to line him up wherever, and I don't want to say gadget plays, but whatever he wants to do with them. Like, this would be another versatile piece that they can use, and a slot receiver, which is something that they don't really have right now on the roster. Right.
There's no true slot. And I think, you know, I think they do a good job of having guys that are just versatile, right? That can line up outside, line up inside. But it is nice to have that true slot guy that you can, you know, depend on to be that quick separator right now and be able to get the ball in his hands and be somebody that is explosive like Smith and be able to, you know, have a nice run after catch. So that could be like a little Taylor Gabriel, you know, a guy that he just kind of works to get the ball in his hands in space, and he's explosive and he can make something happen afterwards. So definitely missing a guy like that. Look at the receiver position, like you said. I'm probably a little bit more down on it than other guys. Obviously, I think the world of Debo Samuel. I definitely like where IU's headed. But then after that, it's really kind of like, maybe Richie James, see how they feel about him. I think losing Kendrick Bourne, I think that was a big loss, like for what he is. And I know there's a lot of people that like didn't care for him or whatever because of how he carried himself. But I'm like, man, like in his role as the fourth option behind Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk, I thought Kendrick Bourne was really good in that role and, you know, did his job when he came in. And I think you're going to kind of miss that type of consistency that you got from him to be able to catch 2-3 balls a game, you know, when they matter most. Yeah. But they're going to have to fill that role. And I think a guy like Chai Smith out of South Carolina, he could potentially be that type of guy.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And beyond the top two, like you said, there's really no certainty. They signed Mohamed Sanu again. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do anything this year, but you've got the dude, Juwan Jennings, that they drafted last year. You've got Jalen Hurd, who's constantly injured. I don't know how much you can count on him. It's like, there's a lot of question marks after that. So I think that adding another guy into that potentially produce is not a bad idea. Although that's the only receiver, I'm spoiling the rest of the draft, but that's the only receiver that we picked in this draft. Some people may want to double up on that, but that's the only one that we went with. So,
right.
172, Rashad Weaver, the DN from Pitt. So he tore his ACL in 2017. So he missed that entire season, but came back in 2020 and he was really productive. Like, he's kind of a tweener. And I know that we're doubling up with picks with Ojulari and Weaver, but again, like these guys, like they are made for 3-4 defenses, but there are so few of those running around that they probably end up falling in the draft, and you can get a ton of value later on. So to me, it's worth taking a risk on to see if they can add him into the rotation, because Blair's coming off a major injury. He's only on a 1-year deal. Like, we have to think about next year too, right? Like, you want to be able to fill in your roster for next year to be able to keep that cap number low, so you can either re-sign, like Fred Warner's coming up and eventually Bosa's coming up as well, re-sign your current guys or get other free agents when the cap goes up. So Rashad Weaver, DN from Pitt.
All right. Yeah, I like it. I mean, the way that the 49ers lost defensive ends last year, just defensive line in general. And I think people think of, oh, well, we lost Nick Bosa. Hmm. But then it's like, well, yeah, then we lost Solomon Thomas. Hmm. And then we lost the edge from BYU that we got from, like, the Seahawks.
The dude.
That's what I can't think of. Ezekiel Ansah.
Ezekiel Ansah, and then Deion Jordan went down as well.
And then Deion Jordan. I mean, yeah. So it was just like a small – it never got Blair back. So it was like, man, if you can kind of load up and maybe just put a lot of resources at that position just to kind of see, like, who ends up sticking and who ends up being able to play as a reserve edge rusher, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, and Chris Krocek, that factor is totally up in play here as well because he's going to coach these guys up. So the next pick, round 5, 180. So this was, to me, it was kind of a sentimental pick because, you know, he has history with the 49ers, but Drew Dahlman, the center from Stanford. And I know I double up on centers, but the idea was that Quinn Meinerz would flip over to guard, and you have Drew Dahlman, who is basically like a zone blocking specialist at center. He's 295, so he's like right like what Kyle Shanahan wants. Son of 49ers center Chris Dahlman, if you remember him from the 90s.
It's
his kid, right? So Stanford kid, Lynch has his Stanford pick because we know how much John Lynch likes Stanford. And you get a zone blocking center that you can kind of stash away on the practice squad if you want. So, Drew Dahlman at 180.
I like it.
Yeah. So now we're getting down to like 6 and 7, last two picks of the draft. The Niners have 9 picks. I'm not sure if they're going to use all of them. But again, like as I said at the beginning, like we didn't do any trades here. I'm sure they'll probably trade for picks next year because they don't have the first round pick in the year after. But we'll see about that. So the quarterback room beyond, I don't think Jimmy's going to stick around. I think you'll probably see a trade at some point, maybe a draft day trade. But Belichick wants him, and I think that he's going to get him. And I don't think that Jimmy will really want to play babysitter to a new quarterback. So you're going to have to refactor a quarterback room. Josh Rosen is there. Josh Johnson is there. They picked up Sudfeld as well. But like really, you know, these guys are all unknowns and how many of these guys can you stash in the practice squad? So I'm going to have them taking a flyer at 194 on Peyton Ramsey, the quarterback from Northwestern. Mm. So this guy's an RPO specialist, right? Like he's an undersized QB. He likes to run a little bit. He's got a really quick release with a decent arm. He doesn't have elite arm talent, but I think that like the fact that he's undersized really, you know, that makes him undervalued. But I think that is a practice squad specialist sort of thing. Like this is a guy you can stash away, you know, in emergencies. Like if you want some guy to run the RPO like scheme, so you don't have to really lose anything with that part of your playbook, you know, he could come in like in an emergency situation and do that for you. So just a flyer on Peyton Ramsey, quarterback from Northwestern.
No, nice. I mean, you look at the 49ers right now and they have like a bunch of these like veterans, you know, behind whoever will be the rookie quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo. But I do think having a guy who, you know, that could be your like potential Nick Mullins, right? Like somebody who is like, you know what, we'll put him on practice squad and he could be somebody that can possibly develop into being Justin Fields' backup, you know, in this scenario. So, you know, I think when you look at it like that, it's like, well, yeah, if we don't have to pay, a Josh Rosen or a Sudfeld or any of these guys that will potentially make more money as a backup, and we can go more with this lower tier draft pick quarterback and he can develop into something that's serviceable as a backup, that would be a nice little pickup.
Yeah, I think so. It is a crowded quarterback room, but again, like I'm with you on the cap savings because right now, like they're up against the cap, and I think that next year, once because the cap went down, obviously because of COVID, like once next year the cap jumps up, you're going to see a lot of movement in the free agent market, and you're going to see a lot of teams trying to jockey for position to get cap room. And I think that if you start that this year, that gives you a leg up on being able to do that next year. So
right.
And the last pick. Number 230, round 7. So again, this is a guy that may not fall this far. This is a guy that you may know a little bit about because he's a corner. He may not fall this far, but if he does, I think it's really good value in round 7. Marco Wilson, the cornerback from Florida. So good height. He's 6 foot plus. He plays best in a zone scheme. So when the Niners want to play zone, like, you know, he'd be ideal for that. He's not the best run supporter, so he kind of reminds me of Witherspoon. He's not the best tackler, but I mean, like, you know, in that sense, like in round 7, you've got a guy that can play zone, that can play your scheme, that you can kind of, you know, they taught Witherspoon to kind of stick his nose in there, be tougher. This is another one of those like project guys that one day, like a Marcel Harris, can he come in there and start for you? Like if he needs to a spot start, can he come in there and be like, you know, like a Tarvarius Moore, a guy that is, you know, really underrated that comes in that gets you production, right? Like, this is one of those, again, flyer picks. Marco Wilson, cornerback, Florida.
Yeah, Marco Wilson, he's very intriguing. You know, watching him, his film this last year, I watched a few games, and I was just like, man, in the games that I watched, like, nothing popped. And you go to the, you know, he goes to his pro day and you see him put up crazy numbers, right? I mean, like, okay, 40-yard dash aside where he ran in the 4.3s, and we know some of these numbers have been a little bit inflated, right, at these pro days. But even then, he, like, his broad jump, his vertical jump, everything was, like, through the roof. Like, it was through the roof. So if anybody, like, ran a fast 40 time and you were going to believe it, I would say it was him just because of how well he tested all the way around. Now, the crazy thing is, none of that explosiveness popped up on film.
Yeah.
He's the son of a father who not only is a big time trainer, defensive back trainer and coach. His brother is Quincy Wilson, who's also in the NFL that played at Florida. He played alongside Tyson Campbell and Patrick Surtain Jr. at high school at American Heritage College. I mean, high school or whatever it's called. They all played together. Marco has had the coaching. He clearly has the athletic profile and ability. Now it's just time to see if you can get him to, like, be more, maybe take more chances or do something to where he's going to pop a little bit more. I thought watching this film, he should be a guy that returned back to college. From the games I watched, his dad told me, well, yeah, he kind of struggled a little early on, but he got better as the season went on. I haven't been able to watch those games. But, you know, overall, he's somebody that was extremely versatile before them. He played outside, he played in the slot. When they played against Ole Miss, he played like this kind of position where wherever number eight, Elijah Moore lined up, he would just be over him. So if Elijah Moore was in the slot, he was over him in the slot. If Elijah Moore was at running back, he'd be like a middle linebacker right there. So it was like wherever he lined up, he was going to go. So they did a lot of different things with him. And he was very versatile. Maybe that kind of hurt his ability to get, you know, focus in on one spot. He was somebody that tore his ACL previously. So, you know, Marco, he's very intriguing. I think all the ability is there. And if I was to kind of gamble on a late round cornerback, seventh round, he'd be somebody who I'd be fine with because he has the ability. I feel like he has the pedigree. Now it's just time to put it all together.
Yeah. And I think, like, when you're like looking at the back of the draft like that, those are the types of guys you want to get, right? Where they have that elite potential, but, like, they just haven't put it together. And you see it all the time where, you know, somebody's drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, like George Kittle, for example, right? Elite blocker. We didn't know that he would turn into what he is today, but, like, you know, there was that one trait. They're like, all right, this guy's a phenomenal blocking tight end. He's going to work great in Kyle's running game. And all of a sudden he turns into arguably the best tight end in the league because he shows you that he's uber athletic in other ways. So a lot of these guys, they just need a shot in the right scheme. And, you know, if, really, like, a guy like Marco Wilson can play in his own scheme and play like the scheme that the Niners do and succeed in it, I think that, you know, that's a win overall. And if he makes the roster, that is a win because if you're a seventh round pick, you're not expected to make it. So,
right.
Yeah. So overall, like, I think that, like, we, you know, reviewing this, like, we kind of drafted for need a little bit, but also, like, we looked at the best player available for a lot of these positions at that point. Right. And I think that, like, you can't go with one. There's no, like, broad brush that you can paint that be like, all right, this hits all your points. Like, you can't take BPA all the time and you can't draft for need all the time. It's got to be like a hybrid approach.
Right.
So I think that, like, we pretty much hit on, like, whatever they needed, plus, like, got a few extra things in as well.
Yeah, no, I like it. It looked like the 49ers are kind of set and ready to go. I really like the, you know, especially, like, you know, the first two picks and then got some good, you know, potential depth pieces that could potentially be starters, like the edge rushers from Georgia and some of those guys. So, and then even Marco Wilson, who I'm not as high on, but could definitely see a scenario where he ends up being really good. So I like it. Anytime you get Justin Fields in the draft, I think, you know, that's
yeah, exactly. That's a win right there. I think that, you know what it is, man? Like, you got to hit on your first 2 to 3 picks, right? Those got to be hits. You can't miss on those because those are the guys that are most likely going to be starters, right? Like the first, like, rounds 1 through 3, especially rounds 1 and 2. And, you know, when they missed on Pettis, that was such a huge miss because it's like you expected that guy to come in and start and he was never able to do it. So, you know, getting Debo and Bosa the next year was so critical. And, like, they have another chance this year where your position where you have to hit on the first one. I think they will. And you have another guy, you know, somebody's going to follow you at 43. Guys slip out of the first round for all sorts of reasons, right? You're close enough where you'll get a first round talent at 43. So really, really well set up. But yeah, man, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Oh, man, I'm just like everybody else, just waiting. We're about a week away now, and I'm really excited. This is probably one of the most polarizing drafts, not just for the 49ers, but I think just because of everybody. Like, these are high-profile players that are in it, you know, from Trevor Lawrence, who has been pegged as, you know, the number one guy for a few years now, seeing where Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, who came up out of nowhere. Where does Mac Jones go if he doesn't go to three? Where does he fall to? Seeing, okay, Kyle Pitts, who's going to take that? Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith, who's going to be the first out of those guys? Jalen Waddle, very explosive guy. Like, you know, and then you start getting into some of the defensive guys. You got Surtain and Horn. And there's just, I feel like there's a lot of, like, storyline picks. Caleb Farley, how far does he fall because of the back stuff? I think, you know, this first round is going to be pretty explosive. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, you're going to see, like I said, you're going to see a lot of guys that ordinarily would have been picked in the first round, they'll fall out because there's so much talent. There's so much damn talent.
Everybody can't go in the first round.
Yep. And it's going to be so much fun watching it. Like, I'm going to have that anxiety for the first, like, three picks of it until we find out who the quarterback is going to be. But once we find out, hopefully it's Fields or Lance, hopefully we find out it's one of those guys. And I'm like, all right, cool. Where is Mac Jones going to go? And it's funny because before we sign off here, I just want to say this real quick. Mac Jones has basically been mocked to the Niners more than anybody else. Like, I don't see any other team getting any other love for Mac Jones. Like, maybe the Patriots. But no other teams are really saying that they actually want Mac Jones, which is the funny thing. And to me, that smells a little bit fishy. And that's when I started kind of questioning it.
I'll say this about it. I'll never be someone to claim to have all these different sources and stuff. But, you know, I do end up, you know, knowing people and having, you know, certain relationships. And I have somebody that's associated with the 49ers that just, you know, would tell me information, like just little things that they hear or whatnot. Or I know some things that I'll tell you about off air that's going to be like, what? You're going to be like, what, really? So, you know, I hear things here and there from this person. And this is the only person I know that's kind of involved in that way. But they have a source that's tied more to the front office.
Right.
And the person that their source says is the pick is Justin Fields. Now, that their source has not heard that from Kyle Shanahan. And this is somebody that's usually close to that whole thing, but they haven't even heard it. So I say all that to say, if this person doesn't know, or I don't want to say that doesn't know, but has not heard that from Kyle Shanahan's mouth, I feel like nobody has.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part where everybody mocking Mac Jones, or even if they're mocking Justin Fields or Trey Lance or anybody, nobody has any idea. It's really all about maybe a vibe that they're getting or something that they're hearing from this person that heard from this person. But I really feel like nobody has any idea truly who the pick is. And I think that makes it an even more exciting draft coming next Thursday.
Yeah. And I think that, like,
why can't the draft be? It should be tomorrow, man. The 22nd, man. Like, gosh.
Remember when it was like in May? For some reason, they're like, oh, it's in May, but like they moved it back to April now. It's like, dude, it used to be the third week of April, I believe, right?
Yeah.
It was the third week of April. We were done. And now it's like, all right, end of April, because you want football in every month, right? So, but man, it's just, it's taking forever. It's taking forever, dude. So, all right, man. But thanks so much, dude. I appreciate you, man. Like, you know, I've known you for a few years now, dude. You're always so generous with your time. You know, you make time for us, like, no matter what, like, is going on. You always message. You're always happy to come on the show, dude. Honestly speaking, man, like, you make our job so much easier by being so forthcoming, so nice about it, dude. Like, there's people who aren't as nice about it, and it makes it like pulling teeth for us. But the fact that, like, you're so cool about it, dude, like, we really appreciate that about you, man.
Oh, yeah. I think anybody knows, man, like, I'm all about talking football. So anytime I have an opportunity, man, and I'm pretty much free, I make time, I'm all for it, man. But I appreciate the kind words.
Appreciate that, man. So let's drop your Twitter handle real quick for people that may not know where to find you.
Yeah, man, you guys follow me on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. I also have the YouTube channel that I just started. And in the first week, I've gotten over 1,000 subscribers. So that's pretty cool. And it keeps climbing. So that's Croc Talk TV. And then I have my Patreon account where, like, a lot of the prospects, like, I've done a ton of prospects. There's over 30 video breakdowns, like, in depth, in detail on my Patreon account. That's patreon.com/CrocTalk. And the cool thing is, if you're a 49er fan, because I have three tiers that are showing. One is like $3, but you don't really get much with it. There's another one that's $10, and there's a $20 one. But if you're a 49er fan, I actually have a hidden 49er faithful tier. And if you just DM me and say that you want to, you know, subscribe to the faithful tier, it's $3 a month, but I give you access to everything that everybody else gets. So if you are a 49er fan and you are interested in some of these prospects and, you know, maybe what they potentially can be, or you just want to support or whatever the case is, holler at me, DM me at Eric_Crocker, and I'll get you set up to the tier, faithful tier on the Patreon.
Perfect. Awesome stuff, man. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We will see who the Niners draft. I would like to say it's nice to unite over not wanting Mac Jones after fighting over quarterbacks for the last 18 months with all 49ers fans. It's nice that we're all getting along now, right? But we'll see who the Niners get. For Eric Crocker, this is Zane McAfee with another episode of the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast.